A chance of rain and a high near 54 degrees. Up to 48 degrees now. KQEN News Time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here today. An interesting topic came across my desk in the past couple of days. We had a story about it earlier in the week, but wanted to go in depth as Mercy Medical Center announcing a tobacco-free campus beginning on January 1st. And joining us this afternoon, David Price, Director of Mission Services and Bioethics at CHI Mercy Health. David, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks, Kyle. My privilege.
And by the way, just to give folks a glimpse, what on earth does it mean to be Director of Mission Services and Bioethics?
Well, it's a multifactorial assignment, so I'm involved in community benefit, and then the chaplains, both in the ambulatory and hospital market, report to me, and I have a wide range of other responsibilities. On the bioethics side, that has to do with assisting with medical decision-making in matters that are controversial around stopping or starting therapy.
So talk about this full-scale tobacco-free policy. What led to this move?
Well, it's part of a broader wellness and health promotion effort. As you know, for the last several years, we've been taking a pretty active approach to try to build a healthy culture in the hospital, and we've been doing that incrementally. And we've just had really decent buy-in. Our partnership with Blue Zones has played into that in a pretty dominant way, both with offering healthy food options, promoting active movement, and also promoting belonging and other themes that would contribute to health and wellness.
Well, a lot of times when somebody, a facility, a company talks about being tobacco free, there are a whole lot of but this, but this, but this. This one, however, really is much more broadly encompassing things. Talk about, under this new policy, what will not be allowed as the new year begins.
So, Kyle, it applies to all nicotine and tobacco products, and that would be regardless of the delivery system used. So whether that electronic, such as vaping devices, or be more conventional, like combustible products, it also applies to chewing tobacco. So we tried to take a pretty comprehensive approach to it so that all of those areas of concern would be included.
And not just the types of tobacco, but a lot of times you will hear folks say, well, I'm going to go out and smoke in my car, or I'll go out and smoke in the parking lot, things like that. You're changing that a bit, too.
That's correct. We decided to include that in our policy definition so that you cannot simply go out and use tobacco in your car on the property. Now, it's true that you could leave campus if you clock out. And you're not on a paid break, say at lunchtime. We're not encouraging folks to do that. Obviously, we think it's in their best interest to try to use this as an opportunity to stop using nicotine and tobacco products. But that would be a possibility for them. So it applies to our entire campus, and that includes all of our secondary sites and locations.
And what about for folks that are there? And obviously it's different right now with the COVID protocols and all of that. But for somebody who might be there as a visitor and wants to go outside and smoke, is that gone too?
Yeah, we're also prohibiting that activity for the same reason. We're trying to promote health and wellness, not only for our employees, but also for our guests. And as you know, with secondary and tertiary smoke hazards, it's not a good idea to make accommodations. So that we're again taking an all-inclusive approach, but we're also sensitive to the fact that it's a real addiction, and to stop tobacco is no small proposition. I grew up in an environment with tobacco users, both combustible and non-combustible products. I myself was a tobacco user from about fourth grade until I was 23. So I'm very compassionate on this issue, and I know that it's challenging. So one of the things that we're structuring in is nicotine replacement therapy. Now, we're allowing that for our employees, but also our guests. If they need a lozenge, We'll give them a container full of lozenges, either in 2 milligram or 4 milligram doses, to help them to curb those urges.
When was this announced to staff, and what's the reaction been like?
We announced it approximately 3 months ago, and I would say that we've had a blended reaction to it. It's widely supported. Obviously, some individuals are concerned about tobacco cessation and whether or not they're going to be able to manage it effectively. And that's really what one of the things that motivated us, and it is a best practice in this model, but to offer them a wide range of different opportunities. So, for example, it's not just NRT in terms of gum or lozenges, but also there are prescription medications and patches that can be distributed to them. Their wellness benefit covers that at 100% with zero out-of-pocket expense, which is a nice feature.
And if I read this correctly from the press release from earlier in the week, is this going to include more than just the hospital campus?
That's right, Kyle. So it applies to all of our secondary sites and locations. We have, as you know, a pretty widely spread out complex in Roseburg. Some of those were already tobacco-free, just to be direct about it. For example, we have an imaging center over on Harvard Medical Park. That particular entity elected to go tobacco-free a couple years ago. So this is not new information to them. And then also our 2460 building with our orthopedic, nephrology, pulmonology practices, all those will be tobacco-free. Sleep lab center, as well as hospice, home health, OT, PT, et cetera.
Have you seen other medical facilities, other hospitals go in the same direction?
We have. I think some of the local champions that stand out to me are Aviva Health, Evergreen Family Medicine, Roseburg VA, Douglas Public Health Network. I already mentioned Harvard Medical Park. And then you have some of the larger sort of premier medical centers like Oregon Health Science University. They elected to do this in 2007, 2008. So from that perspective, we're behind the curve. Sacred Heart also, Providence, Kaiser, Lower Umpqua Hospital in Reedsport, Bay Area, Samaritan, St. Anthony's. I mean, the list is pretty comprehensive. To not be tobacco-free in today's situation is, anomalous, to be plain about it.
So talk about the health impacts from smoking, and particularly how that impacts treatment people may need to come to mercy for or may need later in life if they have been smoking for a long time.
Yeah, so as you know, tobacco use is a leading cause of preventable disease, disability, and death in the U.S. We have roughly 34 million adults smoking cigarettes and about 58 million non-smokers being exposed to secondhand smoke. So it's a pretty serious issue. About 1,600 young people underage every day try their first cigarette. So this is something that's quite important to us. And in terms of clinical impact or health concerns, type 2 diabetes susceptibility goes way up, lung disease, heart disease, cancer, COPD. There's just a wide range of potential for harm. And so, we're doing what we can to try to prevent some of that.
And this is really a long way for those of us like me that are maybe older. Those ads from decades ago that showed, doctors smoking in exam rooms and things like this. Are you thinking that we're probably continuing on with this sort of shift?
I think so. I would say that there's been a very incremental shift on this issue. There's been some moments of disproportionate movement. So, for example, when restaurants elected to go tobacco-free, my mom, as a tobacco user, said she'd never eat out again. And so about a month later, she was eating out. So it takes a little while to adjust to those alterations, especially those ones that we find disagreeable or offensive to our sensibilities. And of course, it wasn't that long ago where individuals could use tobacco in the hospital, right, or on an airplane. And I've heard stories about there still being smoke marks on tables in the lab from days gone by. So things have changed quite dramatically. And as you know, now our parks, those recreational sites, are tobacco free. Recently, we passed an ordinance for downtown events to be tobacco free. So it's just a gradual shifting. And the interesting thing to me, Kyle, is that the support is pretty broad spread. Even tobacco users support a lot of these measures.
One of the things, as this has evolved in different avenues, talking to my kids at one point a number of years ago, when I said that right before they were born, you could smoke in restaurants, and oh, by the way, cars didn't used to have seatbelts, they looked at me as if I was also saying cell phones had not been around forever.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It does amount to a pretty tremendous shift in perspective. And smoking is not the only category that we've seen change in, that's for sure.
Got to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. David Price, the Director of Mission Services and Bioethics at CHI Mercy Health. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Don't forget an early afternoon report at 4. And then Oregon Duck pregame show at 4:30 here on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Tomorrow we go live to Wildlife Safari as they get ready for wildlife. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, we'll talk to staff of Wildlife Safari and not just about wildlife, but other things happening out there. David Price is with us, Director of Mission Services and Bioethics at CHI Mercy Health, talking about the announcement of a tobacco-free campus starting at the beginning of the year. So, David, how do you balance all of the health concerns? I'm sure you've gotten this pushback somewhere along the way for people that say, yeah, but what about rights of smokers?
Yeah, I think that's a common concern that comes up with some degree of frequency. And the reality is there's no legal right to smoke. But on the other hand, the hospital has a right to create tobacco-free environment with our buildings and grounds. And I think the initiative is fairly consistent with our goals of supporting good health and wellness. The other thing I would stress, Kyle, is we're not telling people they can't use tobacco. In fact, if they want to use lozenges on campus during a shift and then they choose to use tobacco, and I'm not encouraging that, but they choose to do that outside of work hours, they're certainly welcome to do that. So we're not telling people they can't use it. It's just a matter of controlling this environment and realizing the secondary and tertiary impacts to other people who don't want to be victimized by the smoke.
I imagine over time you've talked to some of the doctors on the staff there, surgeons, about folks who come in for surgery and the fact that whatever their situation is, it's been made worse by the fact that they've been a long-term smoker.
It is. That exacerbates the situation. It's a contraindication for knee and hip surgery. And I'll just quote our chief medical officer, Dr. Jason Gray. He says, smoking slows wound healing, increases infection rates in surgeries, and is the most common cause of poor birth outcomes. So, yes, it's a serious problem. And our surgeons and doctors are in alignment with this decision.
I know over the past probably 15 years, there's been a lot of talk from both folks at Mercy and other public health people in the area about doing things to prevent, essentially to have a better lifestyle so that you have less medical problems later in life.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think I would return to something that I mentioned earlier, and that this is really one facet of a prism, right? So total health and wellness is more than just tobacco use. It's also about healthy, active movement. It's about belonging. There's multiple angles to well-being. And so this is just one piece of the puzzle, but it is an important one.
You mentioned the city parks being tobacco-free. I had to look that up this morning with the help of one of the city staff. That was 10 years ago. And at the time when the city park system went tobacco-free, it actually happened ahead of places like Eugene and some other cities where folks might have expected it to happen first. There was definitely some pushback at the time. But over time, it seems like that's one of those things that's just been a slow shift and gradually gotten more and more accepted. One of the initial concerns that led to that was people taking their kids out to play on playground structures and Stewart Park and other places, and then folks having to breathe smoke from other parents nearby, and the kids all getting exposed to it as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Kyle. People have a right to clean, breathable air. And if there's a way that we can ensure that access, we should do it. And so what we don't want is a situation where my tobacco use imposes on the health of someone else, either in a direct or secondary sense. And we do see that a fair degree with tobacco use. And the medical research, scientific literature is pretty clear on this. I have a friend, a close friend, who never used a tobacco product in her life and has COPD, and it's secondary to tobacco use from her mother from when she was a child. And you know, they would drive around with the car windows rolled all the way up in a poorly ventilated area, and she was breathing that in. And so this is the very thing we want to avoid doing.
And I'm aware of someone who, when they were growing up, one of their parents smoked, always outside, never inside, but they come back in smelling like smoke. Sometimes maybe the door is open and a little bit of it drifts in or whatever. And where this came to light was the fact that eventually that parent quit smoking, never smoked again. And then suddenly they noticed that 6 months later, one of their kids suddenly wasn't getting colds, wasn't getting sick anymore.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. Growing up, we did what we called spring cleaning. And I can remember when my mother would scrub the walls with a bucket of soapy water, and they would go from a tingy yellow to a white. And that was just because of all of the nicotine that was being deposited through the air onto the walls. And so you can imagine what that does to the inside of your body or the bodies of people that you're around.
And not to date myself, though, I'm going to do it anyway, apparently. When I first began in radio, we were actually playing records the first few years. Some people might know what those are. And folks, at that point, it was not uncommon to actually smoke in the studio. Well, then you were getting the smoke, vapor, and the debris from all of that on vinyl. And I remember that eventually would start causing problems to the actual records themselves even. I mean, it's a whole different element. But, I mean, that was a big shift there in the industry that I've been in. And people, now you tell them that story and they just look at you and can't believe that was ever allowed.
Well, that's exactly right. It's an interesting dynamic. And of course, if you're in a vulnerable population group or an at-risk category, the secondhand smoke exposure can be quite problematic to your wellness and health. And so if I have asthma, if I have COPD, it's likely to exacerbate that by contact. Small children. And I would just go back to the downtown smoke-free event policy ordinance that was passed recently. I think it was a very wise decision on the part of city council for those reasons, because families want to enjoy those events and they don't want to breathe in toxic air. And they really shouldn't have to.
Now, Douglas County, though, traditionally had a higher rate of smokers than most counties. I haven't seen data in the last few months on that, so I'm not sure exactly where things stand now. But we've always been a bit on the opposing side, where I think at one point it was twice the number of percentage-wise, twice the percentage of people in the county smoked versus the statewide average.
Yeah, county health rankings, the Robert Johnson Wood Foundation does cite that as an indicator. I was talking to Dr. Bob Dannenhofer recently, and he was pointing out that if we look at the measurements, the current ones, we've actually made some decent progress on curbing tobacco use. And so the prevalence is decreasing to some degree. I don't remember the exact percentage, so I won't incorrectly cite it, but the point is there has been some movement and progress is favorable. So that's a good sign.
So it all begins January 1st. Do you have that information, maybe more about that? Is that up on the Mercy website, or can people access that somewhere else?
Yeah, we'll have it on our social media avenues. We've done a press release. And then we're also going to have banners posted around the hospital so that it's conspicuous, so there's no there's no mistake about the fact that we're pledging to be a tobacco-free environment.
David Price is the Director of Mission Services and Bioethics at CHI Mercy Health. David, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Kyle. Appreciate it.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.